Praise the Lord. The title to my sermon today is Grow in Grace. Please. The title to my sermon today is Grow in Grace. Praise God. Let me get some glasses on so I can read here. I can read a little bit, but let's see. Praise the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come into your presence right now, Father. And I just thank you that you're the one who gives all grace, and you're the one who gives all growth. And I just ask you, Father, to help us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, that we might come into the fullness of all that you've called us to be, that your purposes in the earth might just be fulfilled, Father. I thank you that you work all things after the counsel of your own will and that you're in control of everything. And I give you all praise and I give you all glory and I give you all honor for everything that you're going to do here. In the name above all names, in the name of Jesus, I pray today. Amen. Praise God. My scripture that I'm going to come out of a little bit here is 2 Peter 3:18. It says, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Praise God. You know, a lot of times we don't really understand a lot about grace at times because we don't understand that, you know, grace is something that... You know, I used to hear people say, well, it's unmerited favor and it's this and it's that and it's something else. But, you know, I like the Strong's Concordance definition of grace, and I started using it years ago. And I think most of the people in the church now tend to use that definition. But it's the definition of it in Strong's Exhaustive Concordance is the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection out into the life. And, you know, a lot of times we don't realize that God's grace has to have an effect upon our inner man. And when I say our heart, I'm pointing at my chest. But really, to be honest with you, most of our real heart is right up here because that's where our thoughts take place and that's where everything's controlled in our lives, you know, and in our bodies both. And, you know, we have to have that divine influence upon our heart. And its reflection has to reflect out into our lives. You know, I'm going to read you something here. It says, grow in grace, not in one grace only, but in all grace. Grow in the root of grace, faith. Believe the promises more firmly than you have done. Let faith increase in fullness, consistency, simplicity. Grow also in love. And ask that your love may become extended more intense, more practical, influencing every thought, word, and deed. I mean, that's powerful little verse right there. But you know what? That's what God wants us to do. You know, in the last few weeks, I've talked to you about a lot of different things, but a couple of weeks ago, I talked to you about faith which worketh by love. And everything has to center out of the love of God. But the grace of God is Scripture says, we're saved by grace, not by works, lest any man should boast. And, you know, we have to really come to understand what the grace of God is to do in our lives, you know. And, you know, it's supposed to be that divine influence upon our heart and its reflection out into our life. And as it reflects out into our life, other people are going to see the grace of God. You know, and Jesus was the grace of God revealed when he came, you know. And, you know, that word for grow there is a word that is a primary verb. It means to grow. It means to wax. It means to enlarge. And it means figuratively or passively, actively, to grow up. And I like this, to give the increase. To give the increase. And, you know, we can try all we want to increase ourselves in God, But only He's the only one who can ever increase us. But I got news for you. You know, in John 3:30, John the Baptist made this statement, "He must increase, but I must decrease." And you know, John realized that people were looking upon him and they had their eyes on him. And he was basically saying to them, "Don't look at me, because I have to decrease and he has to increase." And you know, the baptism of John was a baptism to repentance. And you know, he said, "There stands one among you who's greater than I, whose shoe latch I'm not even worthy to bend down and loosen." And he said, "And he'll baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." And he said, "His fan is in his hand." And when he said his fan is in his hand, what he really said, that word for fan there is a word for a winnowing fork. You ever feel like God kind of sticks the fork in you once in a while? And what you do with a winnowing fork is when you have wheat or something, you stick the winnowing fork in the wheat and you toss it up in the air. And then the wind blows on it and it starts to blow away the chaff and starts to blow away the things, and the kernels of wheat begin to fall back down to the floor. And a lot of times in our lives, we feel like God's tossing us up in the air sometimes, and his wind is blowing on us, and we're thinking, "Whoa, Lord, what are you doing here? You know, this is, I don't know what's happening in my life right now." But you know what? He's bringing a separation is what he's doing. He's separating your old life, the chaff in your old life, from him, that he might bring forth the full kernel of wheat. You know, Jesus told them one time, "Your fathers did eat manna, you know, in the wilderness," because they talked about it being the bread from heaven. He said, "But I'm the bread that came down from heaven." And he said, "He that eats of me will have life eternal," you know. And you know, Scripture says, "As he is in this world," what's it say? "So are we." So you can be bread to people also, as you'll be obedient and move and flow and do whatever God's telling you to do. But I like that he talked about the increase there. And in 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 7, Paul said, "Who then is this Paul, or who is Apollo, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" He said, "I have planted and Apollos has watered, but guess what? God gives the increase." He's the only one who can give the increase. We can't give it, but what we can do is we can plant and we can water as God gives us the word to speak to people and to people's lives. "So then neither he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase." You know, I told you this little story the other day, and I'm going to repeat it. There was a man who started praying, and he said, "God, let me win the lotto." And he prayed, and he waited to find out what the numbers were and all this stuff, and see if anybody brought him a big check. Mm-hmm. And nothing happened. So he prayed again the next week and said, "God, let me win the lotto." And again, nothing happened. And then he prayed again the next week. And I don't know if some of you all might have prayed that a time or two yourself. And he prayed again the next week and said, "God, let me win the lotto." And then finally God answered him. And he said, "Work with me a little bit. Buy a ticket." And you know what? That's the way we are sometimes. We're co-laborers together with him in everything. We have to, you know, we have to be willing to do what he wants us to do. And I know that's a silly little story, but you know it's true. So many times we'll say, "Oh God, do this or do that." And then a lot of times he's saying, "You're my hands. I've sent you to do that." You know, maybe we're the one that's supposed to go and lay hands on somebody that we know that's sick. And we're saying, well, you know, I'll go to church Sunday and I'll ask all the people at church to pray for them. And that's good. And there's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. Prayer works. And, you know, it's powerful. And there's nothing wrong with asking other people to pray about situations. But if God's laying it on your heart, work with him a little bit. Go and do what he tells you to do. You know, in 2 Corinthians 9:8, it says, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you may may always, having all sufficiency in all things, may be able to may abound to every good work." Amen. You know, and I love that in the Amplified Bible, because I'm going to read it to you out of that. It says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor, and earthly blessing to come to you in abundance, so that you may always be, under all circumstances and whatever the need be, self-sufficient." Now, wait a minute. Am I supposed to be self-sufficient, or am I supposed to be sufficient in God? Well, I got news for you. That only happens when our sufficiency is in him.
That's right.
In him we live and move and have our being. And we have to realize that, and we have to keep that in mind. It's Christ in us that's the hope of glory. Creation out there is groaning and travailing, waiting to see the manifestation of the Lord come forth. But they're going to see it in you. And they're going to see it in you as you realize your sufficiency lies in him. And that you can do all things through Christ, who strengthens you within. And that no matter what God is telling you to do, you can accomplish it. And he's usually going to tell you to do things that you feel like you're not capable of doing. You're going to say, "God, there's so-and-so over there. They're more qualified to do that than me." But that isn't what it's all about. You know, and I'm going to read that to you again. I'm going to read the rest of it. It says, "And God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing, come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient, possessing enough to require no aid or support, and furnished in abundance for every good work and charitable donation." That's a powerful scripture, how that amplified. And you know what? That's what he's doing. And if we'll realize that no, and in this upcoming year, no matter what God tells you to do, he is your sufficiency in that situation. You know, I like what Clarice used to say when she was here a couple of times. She'd say, if you don't go to the ledge and jump off once in a while, you're not going to have any stories to tell. And I got, and what she's really saying is, you're not going to have a testimony. If you're not willing to step out when God asks you to do something way beyond what you feel like your ability to do is, then you're not going to be able to testify about how he met you in wonderful ways. You know, I you see this picture hanging up here on the podium. Margaret hung that up there. That's Cora. And, you know, that little baby is a miracle. She's absolutely a miracle. I mean, And you know, if you had heard all of the times that they basically, she coded, and I don't think very many people thought she was going to make it, you know. But if you see that little baby on the internet with them smiles and just, you know, smiling and carrying on and having a good time, you just think, oh, God, you fooled them all. And he did. He fooled them all. Because they didn't, I honestly believe even the doctors and them probably didn't really give her a chance, really, if the truth was known about it. But you know what? The beauty is they're not in control. He is. And you know, I know we went over there for weeks and weeks. Every once a week we'd go by there and go pray for the baby. And I'm not saying that because it has anything to do with us, because I know everybody was praying for her and people were praying for her all over the place. But you know, we felt like we were supposed to do that. So we went and did it. And you know what? That little baby is a testimony today of prayer. Prayer works, folks. Prayer works. And I just want you to know that the grace that God has given to you, if you don't let that divine influence be upon your heart and reflect out into your life, then you're not going to experience the fullness of his grace. And I like that. And that first verse I read you up there, it says, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. And I give you the definition of grace. I'm going to read you the whole thing. I didn't read you the whole thing. I just told you a part of it. But it's the word charis. And it means graciousness, a matter or act, abstract, concrete, literal, figuratively, or spiritually, especially the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection into the life, including, and I didn't tell you this part, including gratitude. Now, Clyde Beck in Sunday school said that I talked about attitude and altitude, and I did on the radio program. But I'm going to tell you what, you could throw gratitude in there too. If you aren't grateful for the things that Jesus Christ has already done for you, quit whining, quit complaining, quit moping around and saying, oh God, I wish you'd do this. Oh God, I wish you'd do that. Start thanking him for everything that he has done, and watch and see if his grace doesn't pour into your life abundantly and begin to lift you in situations and begin to lift circumstances, that he'll show himself mighty. But I want you to know, we have to also not only let that divine influence be upon our heart and its reflection into the life, but we have to include gratitude in there. We got to be thankful. What does Scripture say? In everything give thanks, for this is the what? Will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And if you aren't thankful in everything, then I got news for you. And you mean, should I even thank him in what seems to be the bad stuff? Should I have an attitude of gratitude in that? If you want to see that situation turn around, you should. And if you don't, a lot of times you'll stay in a situation a lot longer than you would have had to if you'd start being thankful and start praising him. And I'm going to tell you, there's a real key in praising the Lord. And I know we've heard hundreds of sermons over the year about praising the Lord, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, if I preached that same sermon every Sunday and everybody did that all week, every week, you'd come in here shouting and lifted up and glowing in the Lord. And you'd go out of here glowing in the Lord. And you know, a lot of people who are Christians can't even lift their hands and praise the Lord. You know, I love what you said, Rich, when you said about lifting your hands. It's like a little kid reaching up for their parent, you know. And it also, If you go out in the parking lot there and somebody sticks a gun in your back and says, stick them up, you're going to get them up real fast. You're going to get in submission to them real quick. Because if you don't, you're liable to get a bullet hole in your back. But I'm going to tell you what, we need to be in submission to the Lord. And that's a form of us just acknowledging him and saying, Lord, I surrender up to you. I surrender it all to you. And the bowing down, when we bow down to him, that's just saying, Lord, you're the King. You know, you go over in England and you go into the palace over there, and the Queen comes. I don't know what would happen if you don't curtsy to her, but you're supposed to. But I'll tell you what, in olden days, if you didn't curtsy to her, you'd probably lose your life if you didn't bow down. But I'm going to tell you, if you don't bow down to Jesus, then you're just missing a tremendous blessing. Praise God. Well, I wasn't going to talk to you a long time today. We're going to have our financial meeting. And if you all will stand, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. And if anybody wants prayer, we'll be glad to pray with you. This is short. But I know I'm afraid to get you all back there and keep you back here very long if you're hungry. Hungry people get mean. I don't like mean people. I like nice people. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for this simple little word that you gave me to share today. And Father, if we talked about your grace every Sunday, it would not be enough, because your grace is sufficient in all situations and all circumstances. And Father, we're saved by it because of your love, your mercy, and your forgiveness. And I ask you to just bless your people as we go forth. And Father, even as we have our financial meeting back there, I ask you to just to bless that meeting and help us to make wise decisions, whatever you want us to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord.